Hello, I'm Robin.
Hello, I'm Juno.
We're from the I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno podcast.
We're probably the world's youngest podcasters.
Is it true that you're the world's oldest podcasters?
Congratulations, your podcast has been going for 2 years. Our podcast has been going for 4 years.
Does that mean our podcast is twice as good as yours?
We don't actually listen to your podcast, but our daddy does, and he says it's very good.
But our daddy doesn't know much.
We know Bob listens to daddy's podcast, and he sent us some lovely gifts at Christmas.
So, Bob, we think you're great.
Mark, we don't know you, but we think you're probably great too.
Keep up the good work, boys, and don't forget to listen to I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. Bye!
Bob, what did you promise them for us to be here?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. What do you mean?
Well, Jamie just asked me if I could take her shift next week, and Big D is telling me if I keep hanging around your booth, I'm going to get written up.
Oh, well, I think they need your help over there.
Ladies and gentlemen, have your attention. It's Mildred's birthday today.
She is celebrating the third anniversary of her 25th birthday. All right, everybody, let's start clapping.
We heard it's your birthday. We're loving that for you. Your birthday cake is on the house because Chili's is so cool. Happy, happy birthday from the Chili's crew. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too.
Hey!
It's not even my birthday.
Tonight, return back with us to charming Crystal Lake, Illinois, to the Loco Chili's, quaintly nestled between a Nissan dealership and famous footwear. It's the second annual Festa Foreign Film Fans Awards Show. An electrifying night in casual dining history. Order up some Southwest egg rolls and sit back while we serve up some of the night's most coveted honors. And don't forget to tip the waitstaff. And your announcer.
Hey, Mark, I said no onions. Did you even write it down?
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Good you! Christmas last forever.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale!
Both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Now, welcome back to the second half of an awards show like no other. Ours comes with a side of guacamole. Chili's is serving up bold flavors tonight while we deliver some well-deserved recognition to the films that really deserve it. We raise a toast to those films that bring festive cheer from every corner of the globe, but rarely get the attention. While we all have our Christmas favorites, our journey here is to find some new classics. These awards may seem silly, but they are important for us. We get to take a moment to give a little Hollywood treatment to foreign films who rarely get it. However, before we do that, we want to show a little favoritism and list our favorite countries that we explored this year. Hey, Mark, I'm feeling a little parched here. Can you get me another El Presidente margarita? And can you fill it like you mean it?
Hey, now what do you want over there? You're just going to have to wait. I'm busy here.
Catch me outside. how about that?
Hey, whenever we finish the show, I start to think about that featured country. It might be my new favorite country. Although it's so tough to choose, each nation has its own interesting and unique elements, and they're all different. How do you pick one country that's better than another? It's an almost impossible task. But there are some places that might tug at your heart just a little stronger than others, even though there's so much natural beauty, culture, history, and great food in the world. We can't forget about our food. However, we do want to share our most popular countries from the past season for their combination of natural and Christmas attractions, their holiday movies and music, as well as their stunning landscapes and rich history. It's a sweeping list from a couple of continents. These places have our biggest stamp of approval, and this was really, really tough. But my third choice for a favorite country is Latvia. It's a very small country. I had a really good movie from it. And so I chose that to be my third favorite country.
You know, I agree with you. This was really, really hard. And what is amazing to me is before this podcast, if you asked me to write down some of my favorite countries in the world, none of these maybe would have been on the list. I have learned so much about the countries. And I've learned so much about my partner server friend, Mark, because my number three choice is Latvia. I've said it before. These Eastern European countries, I'm fascinated with them. They're beautiful. The movies are great.
Like, if you think about the Eastern European countries and just one generation behind us, what that generation in Eastern Europe went through.
Yes.
And what they had to face and what they had to rebuild and what they carried with them.
Well, just think about, and we talked about this at the time, and I think it was during the Latvia show. Remember where the three little Balkan countries, they did that, they all held hands?
Yes.
What is stunning to me about that is it happened in the early 90s, and I don't remember any coverage of it at all. And when you still go back and look at it, they say that made a huge impact on Russia.
Well, not moving too far out of that region, Bob, for number two, there's this little country that's nestled between Italy and Austria and Croatia and Hungary, whose capital is Ljubljana. I want to go to that city after seeing, remember, Kappa was filmed there, and it was filmed during COVID and those beautiful streets. They have three different Santas in Slovenia. We already talked about Potoka earlier today. Yeah, so that was my number two country.
Mark, I think this is detailing what we may see in our best movies. My number two country is Slovenia.
Oh, my cowbells.
I know, and I think it's driven by some of the same things we saw. That country was stunning.
Yeah.
Because of that Kappa film, they traveled through the city at night. Yeah. We just got an eyeful. And you mentioned the three Santas. I love the scene where the two Santas are sitting in the diner.
That's right.
Yeah, so and three. I'm so curious what your number one is.
Well, let's say one, two, three, and we'll say it.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Germany. New Zealand.
Oh, all right.
Good, we're done.
All right. My number one country was Germany. And it's funny to say New Zealand because that was one I was considering. Why I ended up choosing Germany? Well, the movie was awesome, very good there. But every time throughout the year, so many traditions ended up being tied back to originally in Germany. Yes. Advent calendars, trees, wreaths, candy canes. Like, it's all these different traditions seem to be coming out of Germany. So that's why I chose
it's
it
like
as my
number.
You can't
go wrong with Germany at all.
I know. And we talk about the show. Like, I'm so excited to visit there coming up next month. I mean, it's
our roving reporter live on the scene.
Yeah, it's amazing. And thank you for upgrading my room to a suite on the boat.
I just wanted to make sure that you had a sauna so you could invite all of Sue's ex-husbands into it.
And you know, hopefully I'll get some really good tips tonight so I upgrade to better gin.
Yeah.
So tell me why you chose New Zealand.
And I would say this probably goes beyond our podcast. It's because I was there at Christmas time. The people are wonderful. The country is incredible. I hesitated because the movie didn't, I think, show off the best attributes of New Zealand, although it was very real, very down to earth. I had to go with it just because it's one of my favorite places I've ever been to. So that's why I selected New Zealand.
Well, that's fair. I mean, nothing like seeing it up close and personal. I mean, it's funny because I almost chose Greece for the same reason. What you said earlier really resonates with me, that if you think about 2+ years ago, before you tricked me into doing this, some of these countries just weren't on my radar. Yeah.
I didn't know anything about them. That's
nothing.
Amazing.
Nothing. How beautiful they are.
You think of how this podcast has made an impact on our lives. Think of what it's done for Jake. When we first started, his wife wasn't even pregnant. And just by our podcast, now she's pregnant.
It's a miracle.
I honestly don't know what to say to that. Rarely am I speechless, but hey, you know what? If we helped, we helped.
If we helped, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The f*** are the specials?
Hey, specials? Who's asking about specials? Do you know that this is Chili's, right? Jeez!
Oh, well, excuse me.
Hey, I think I recognize that guy over there.
Who's that?
Isn't that Andre Kirchner from the Winex Film Festival in Germany? I can't believe he's here in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Why don't we go talk to him? I have to take his order anyway.
Can you believe our luck? For our anniversary show, we have the director of Europe's only Christmas film festival. The Winex Festival features international Christmas films. Just like the festive fans, they present comedies, tragedies, and horror movies, all featuring the subject of Christmas. Andre and his partner, they try to seek out those with a new take on a very familiar subject. We love how the Winex Film Festival encourages viewers to heartily embrace the spirit of Christmas. We share the common belief that cinema can be a magical place that makes you think, touches you, and sometimes casts a smile on your face, especially for the Christmas season. I'd like to know more. Let's go join him at his table.
Andre, what are you doing here at Chili's?
I'm a big fan. I fly from Germany for the Texas cheese fries. They are to die for.
Why do you like Chili's so much?
Everything just smells like grease.
Oh, and have you tried the Big Smasher Burger?
Ah, it sounds good. I have to say I didn't heard about that, but I will write it down.
I see you're having a beer. Is it like what you drink in Germany?
I think it's not that light as the U.S. version. I think it's a little darker.
Order up!
Hey, your Texas chili cheese fries are here.
Now the magic can happen.
Now tell us about your festival.
Yeah, it all started in 2006 when we had our first edition, and the initial idea was to make a festival with Christmas-themed films. And in the first year, the submissions were so more unconventional themed and more extravagant films that I had to say, okay, let's discard all the Hallmark cheerful stuff and just concentrate on the more unconventional films. And since then, we stick to that, and that's really fun, I have to say.
The mission of your film festival is more alternative takes on the holiday.
Yes, for sure. It's a time where emotions boil up and intensify, and everything has to be perfect, and everything goes wrong at the same time. And I think that's a really good ground for films in itself, because they can be intense, they can be whimsical or magical, and in the dark winter times, even horrifying. And so I think the Christmas time in itself, it's a really nice playground for intense films.
And I think that is probably one of the shocking things that's come out of our podcast is just the variety of films. Some of them are sweet and really touching, and then other ones are depressing. But true to life, though, too. They're stressful.
The holidays are stressful.
Yeah, they are, and not always hopeful as well, but there's a shimmer of hope sometimes.
Was this your idea, or whose idea was the film festival?
Yes, it was my idea, and I had it since I was 14, I think. and started working in other festivals and did some curational assistance and some technical stuff for other film festivals. So I learned how to do a festival on my own.
I'm impressed. So you were 14. And how did you promote it at first?
In the 2006 year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When were you first starting?
I mean, social media was a thing back then as well. Facebook was a thing still.
Yeah.
And we had good press echo from tabloids and the local TV stations reported, and they still do it. And with the years, it grew. Really have a newsletter that it's quite well received. And then Teresa Vena joined me in the first year, and we're doing the curation together. She's more for the feature films. I'm more the short film guy. And we're doing it together since 2006 then.
Your idea at the start, though, wasn't for the alternative films. Was it just all types of Christmas films?
Yes. At the beginning, it was really, let's see what the submissions will bring. And I think in the first year, we had over 500 already.
Wow.
But over the years, it's common that we have 1,500. So that's a common number when it comes to submissions. And since the first year, it was clear that we only have 3 or 4 days for the festival. So we have to make a more focused thing. And for us, it was the most interesting to show the films that are more unconventional. That's for sure.
Were you shocked at how well it went over even in the first year?
Yes. I mean, since the submission is free and we want to keep it free, we have a lot of submissions that don't fit to the topic. I think half of them deal with the topic and we can watch through them and then make a nice package for the festival.
You get people that submit films that aren't about Christmas?
Yes. They see the submission is free of charge and they just click on submit. And it's always a little annoying to get through those.
But yeah, because you have to watch them, right?
You see it in when you read the synopsis and you watch the trailer, usually they upload a trailer as well. You really get the sense if it's going in the right direction or not.
What's kind of the common background of the people who are submitting films? Is it young filmmakers, established filmmakers? Who's coming to your festival?
It really varies. I think for the short films, we have first filmmakers or more amateurish stuff and professional stuff as well. For the short films, it's really a mixed bag. And for the features, we have some amateurish stuff, but not that much because doing a feature is expensive on its own. So it's a little more professional when it comes to the features. But nevertheless, all in all, I think in the short film programs, if I stick to them, we allow everything when the idea is good. It's not about the production value, it's about the idea that it is transported through the short. And I have to say, sometimes I really enjoy those more crappy mobile phone pictures.
Absolutely.
When it has a really funny punch, that's amazing.
Now, do you have any rules like it can't have been commercially released or shown in a theater?
No, we are not restricted to premiere status or something like that. I think that would be unfair since we are still a niche and a little smaller festival. So it wouldn't be fair to the filmmakers if they show the film on a bigger A festival first. We allow films from 2000 upwards, so we even show older stuff as well.
Have you ever had one where you saw the initial crappy on your phone film that had a great idea and maybe they come back and they redo it and make it long form?
I don't think for those films it makes much sense because these are mostly 1 to 3 minutes and there is no substance for a feature film. And the short film form is on point and it's the right form for this idea. So I don't think that would be an outcome.
Do you have people that attend the festival looking for films that they might purchase and show somewhere?
I don't know if we had any influence on that, but we showed Phantom Old Forest. That was a film from Estonia. And this hadn't been released yet, and they didn't have a distributor yet. But I was really, really happy that it was released in Germany next year. So I don't know if we had any influence in that, but I was really happy that the film got a wide release in our country.
We say this all the time on our show, especially for Eastern Europe, as we've seen some of these movies, how beautiful the country is.
I have to say, especially the Eastern countries have really good camera works. Even the short films are amazing with camera.
Do they have to submit it with subtitles?
the filmmakers have to send in a version with English subtitles. We're showing everything in original language with English subtitles. So that's another thing. We can just do it in Berlin because otherwise it would be hard for Germans to understand. In Berlin, almost everybody is able to speak English somehow. So that's on a plus side to not to have to like German subtitles.
What's nice is you can ask for subtitles and they'll provide them for you.
Yeah, and I mean, we need it for the submission process. We can't watch a film in a foreign language that's not English subtitles to review.
Do you give out awards?
Yes, we have the Audience Award, and that's the only award we have. Every year it's designed by a glass-blowing company, and it's really unique, heavy and nice and unique.
Oh, that's the award you give? It's made by a glass-blowing company?
Yes, and now, it's usually around 5 kilograms, so it's really heavy stuff.
Now, do you usually agree with the audience, or have you ever been shocked by the audience's pick over what you thought might have been the best?
I'm quite surprised that the audience is leaning more towards the drama side. I find it interesting as well. We had one year we had a horror comedy as winner, and I really loved that for that year. But usually it's more drama driven, and it's fine. And I think it's a fair choice, and they're all good films that they choose, so I'm happy with that.
And you've seen thousands. Tell me a favorite one.
I have to say, in the first year, we had Problemski Hotel from Manu Risch. It's a film from Belgium. I really love that. It's a dark comedy about an immigrant housing, and it's about the clash of different religions, and it's about not knowing where to belong and social conflict. But it's so very well made, and it has a good score, and the actors are just great. I really, really love that. And maybe another one that was shown in Austin at the South by Southwest. It's a little older, but I really loved it. This Xmas Without China film, this documentary. I don't know if you know that. It's a documentary about an experiment where a family has to try to avoid all products from China. And it was just amazing because it's a little surreal because they talk about, oh, now everything is so expensive if it's not from China.
My journey on this, you know, we're not professional film reviewers. We have a strong passion of Christmas. I think what I've considered a good Christmas movie, certainly in the last 25, 26 months has changed.
Yeah, I would say my view has expanded as well in terms of there have been some that I, in the past, have rejected as being too heavy or too dramatic, but now I really appreciate all the different perspectives. And that's what I find so interesting, Andre, about your film festival, because people probably come there thinking they're going to be all sweet, happy Hallmark endings, and I'm sure most of them are not.
It was quite funny. In the first year, the audience expected this kind of thing and was a little surprised that heavy-themed films in there. But I think now, as we were growing, the audience is trained. They know what to expect.
Is it a local audience, or do you have people coming from all over Europe?
We always have filmmakers from abroad, that I can say. Usually during the festival, I don't have that much time to talk to the audience, but I really take the time to talk to the filmmakers for sure. And we had people from Canada, the US and France and Hungary and UK and Poland and the Ukraine and Germany, of course, and Belgium. So we had a lot of people attending, and it's always fun to do Q&A and make a small meeting between the filmmakers and stuff and connect them. And I think that's a really fun part in the festival. And when it comes to the audience, I know during Christmas time, just before Christmas, Berlin has a lot of tourists. Some people from abroad are attending the festival as audience members as well.
Just the extent of the people that come, the filmmakers, that's impressive. And you'll actually have those filmmakers sit up on stage and do like a Q&A
with the audience? Yes, for sure. I think that's the least we can do. If filmmakers are present, we feel really honored because it's a long way. Traveling isn't cheap and it's really great. I think it was 2 years ago in the festival, we had a filmmaker from Canada and person attended every program we screened and it was just amazing.
That's our commitment. If Mark and I make it there, that we'll attend every screening.
Yeah, if we're going to go there, right?
Right, what the heck? I'm curious, your motivation at 14, was it because that you loved Christmas or you loved movies or did you love both of them?
I love both. And I have to say, still my favorite Christmas movie of all time is Home Alone. And I think in itself, it's an unconventional Christmas film. It's not kitsch at all. You have all those Christmas decorations, but a boy who has to take care of the house and keep away burglars. I love the story. The story arc with the neighbor with a shovel is just great. It's really how you define what a Christmas movie is. I mean, for me, it could go both ways. Either it's settled around Christmas and it has another topic, or it's dealing with the topic of Christmas.
This is always the issue, Christmas movie or Christmas adjacent movie. And some people will say, well, a Christmas adjacent, that's really not about Christmas. Where I feel like even if he touches upon the elements of Christmas, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's the same for us as well. There has to be some Christmassy element in there, but it doesn't have to deal with the whole Christian topic at all.
I think some filmmakers will make a Christmas movie because of the dynamics of Christmas, and you can cover a lot of territory. But some, I believe, are fans as well. What do you find? Are they Christmas fans, or is it just they think it's ripe for covering for a movie?
That's an interesting question, and I'm not sure. I ask this question a lot because we show films with topics that are not Christmas-centered, but Christmas is the setting around the films. And I often ask the question, why you choose Christmas in particular? And I think it's really to intensify things. That's the most common answer. And with all the decorations, you will get nice pictures. The pictures won't be boring.
Your shorts, they must be all over the board because you only have 3 or 4 minutes to tell a story. I imagine you see all kinds of variety.
I think every year they're slightly different, and that's what the fun about it. We have some recurrent themes like with poverty or relationships, but there are always films that tackle topics that we didn't show before, and I'm really happy that it's different every year. So that's great fun about it. And I think it's allowed for Christmas films to be a little kitschy. Yeah. But then you need an extra note on top of that. And I think that makes the better Christmas film if it has something extra that's not just plain kitsch. I think that's almost the hardest thing to do, to transport a really good idea in 1 or 3 minutes. Some are a little longer, like up to 30 minutes. They have more time to develop characters and tell a story more in depth. I like both for its own reasons, but I think when you're able to narrow down an idea in a really short amount of time, it's really amazing.
Are you aware of anyone who submitted a film who was just novice and submitted their film, and then they went on to become a filmmaker?
No, but I wish that they all become famous and go their way and make it in the industry.
I suppose, especially the ones you have met and get to know.
What we have had several times, filmmakers who submitted short films, and while we are in the Q&A, that they are now preparing their first feature. That's really nice that they are jumping to the longer format.
That's exciting. And submitting them back to you.
I don't know if the feature film then is Christmas related.
I see, yeah.
Usually not. But it's really exciting that they are going on to do feature length films.
Can you tell me, what is the format for your festival? How does it work?
We usually structure it in 4 days and have at least 4 short film programs and the rest feature films. And we're always trying to have one day that it's more focused on the horror genre. So at least with 1 feature film in the horror genre and 1 short film program that's dedicated to those films. And what's really nice to have 1 feature documentary as well.
What's the process you do to narrow it down? You don't show all of them, right? You're going through a process of weeding out.
We are now in the submission phase, and people can still submit if they want when the submission date is closed. I and Teresa are starting to watch the films. I already started it for this year, so it's not that much left when it's mid of September. And then we narrow it down, and usually for the short films, we try to cluster it by some topic. So it's not a loose short film program, so it's more like a topic-orientated short film program in itself, and I really like that because then it feels more like a solid mixtape.
You don't set the theme ahead of time. It's as you watch the movie, you see a theme.
It usually comes up with making the pre-selection, and you see, okay, we have 8 films centered around relationships. So we do a relationships program, for example. I have to say, sometimes a really good film falls out because it doesn't fit in any of the themes we passed on to the short film programs, and that's kind of unfortunate.
Would you ever hold it back for the next year, or do you not do that?
Usually we don't do that because I think that's not fair. That's the issue for every film festival, that you have to choose, and sometimes even a really good one won't make it because of some reasons.
Probably have to let them down easy. We loved your film. It was awesome. We just can't show it. It doesn't fit the theme.
I think it's the same stuff as job applications. Too many good persons you have to let go of them. Right.
Is your partner, is she as passionate about the holidays and the movies as you are?
She is a film critic, and she's working from Switzerland. And I think when it comes to films in general, she's the bigger buff than me. But I think when it comes to Christmas films, I'm the bigger one. Yeah, she knows everything about films.
That's why I have Mark. Mark knows everything about films, too. We'll watch movies, Andre, and I'm sure you get this, too. I watch these films sometimes, and I go, what was that? What did that mean? And I have to ask Mark.
and I'm really happy that she's on board. I think for the features, she has the better expertise than me.
Have you ever had a year where you get a whole crop of films and you go, oh, this is kind of a bad year? Or the flip side, I guess, you have a great year and all the films are incredible.
I think in the first year, we had to really search for films to put in there despite the submissions. But after that, it's kind of fine. And sometimes if Teresa is on a festival and saw a really good film that she liked, then we write this film as well without submission. We write them and ask if we could show the film. It's partly curated and partly is through submissions.
How many films do you think you've reviewed?
I think it must be over 5,000, but most of them short films.
That's a huge variety of films there.
I think it has to be more than, because it's 500 in the first and then 1,000 in the second and then 1,500 in the follow-up years.
Oh, my God.
I'm impressed. I'm jealous.
I'm stunned because sometimes people will say to us, wow, you've watched 2 Christmas films in a month. They can't believe that. Look at you.
Right. It sort of puts us in perspective, doesn't it, Bob?
I think the reviewing process is a really fun one. There are so many good ideas, and even the ones that are not Christmas related, sometimes there are really good short films in there that have nothing to do with Christmas, but are just fun to
just love them. And the other thing for our listeners, is there virtual participation?
No, we want to keep it that way. In the Corona year, we had 2 free online programs during the Christmas time, but it was an exceptional situation. And I think it was only fair to make it free in that year and accessible for everyone. But I think it's more personal thing because I'm not a big fan of watching stuff online. It's not that immersive. It's staring into a screen and it's not the same experience as if you watch the films in a cinema hall. I'm under the impression that more people are going to the movies since Corona ended, at least here in Germany. The number is going up, especially for arthouse films.
I would say in the States, I don't think the number is going up, but what is changing is they're trying to enhance the experience. So they're trying to add everything they can, better seating, food, drink, everything with it. In some ways, that's all good. Other times, I'm afraid it's taking away from the movie experience.
It's really uncommon here to eat a proper meal during films. I think for a foreigner, it's a weird concept.
Could you, after the festival's over, have people pay to view various, like maybe some of the Q&A and some of the films, or you don't want to take away from the in-person?
I think we are really happy. We don't plan to monetize it in the future.
Do you sell any merchandise? Do you have any merch that says the name of the festival or anything like that?
Nah.
I love that. We're not selling out here.
I think what would be really nice, but this year there is no time for that, but going on a little tour with the audience award winners to make it be accessible for independent cinemas throughout Germany to do German subtitles for the cities they don't get the English ones. And I think that would be a good start to expand a little, to show the audience award winners in different cities in Germany. I think that would be fun.
You might not even have to limit it to Germany. I could actually see you taking it to other major international cities.
Yeah, and I think even in the US, that would be a good thing to have it there. That would be fun. You can do the introductions and stuff. Yeah, and maybe throw in a pic of your favorites as well.
The German audience might be more open to foreign films. Where here in the States, it's kind of like pulling teeth to get people to watch subtitled films.
I think Germany and the US, we both have the problem that all the films are getting dubbed. I think that's the reason why no one wants to watch foreign movies with English subtitles or German subtitles. I think that's the issue. Yeah. We're just not trained to watch with subtitles. All the Scandinavian countries, they show all films with their subtitles, but don't do dubbing at all.
I mean, I will admit the dubbing has gotten much better. I still find it distracting, though. I can tell their mouth's not matching.
I think it's most annoying is with comedies when the joke is not there anymore, when it's dubbed.
What's the best thing that's come out of this festival?
The films and getting to know some of the filmmakers as well. I think that's always such a joy. And I have to say, when I'm preparing the festival, the time before the festival, I'm never in the Christmas spirit because there's so much stuff to do. But when we sit in the cinema and when the trailer is running, then everything is coming together and then the Christmas spirit coming in to the cinema as well. And I really love that now the magic can happen.
Hey, Mark, can you send Andre some fried pickles on me?
Come on, let's get you a fried pickle.
Before we get to our best of selections, we are so grateful to have Festive fans all over the world. We firmly believe that the message of reaching out to the world to discover those fascinating things that draw us together, but also set us apart, is so important. And Christmas can be our common language, even across other religions and beliefs. And as we've seen many cultures celebrate Christmas, or at least recognize Jesus as a prophet and a messenger who spread the word of God, we think that our small effort to find goodwill everywhere is worth sharing, most importantly when we go to those areas who have suffered the most and need faith. Join us now as we embrace the music and the movies that lift hearts and stir emotion. We know that at times the world often seems heavy with sorrow, but our message is, you are not forgotten. Christmas shows us that no matter how long the night, the dawn will always come with hope and with joy. And for the festive fans, this is what makes life meaningful, even in a small way. It's what really matters. So let's get on to our next category, which is one of my favorites, the festive songs. Hey, Mark. Can I get that lava cake thing? And don't skimp on the chocolate. And make sure it's hot this time.
The three for me only at Chili's gets you a bottomless drink, bottomless chips and salsa, an entree like a cheeseburger and fries, the chicken bacon ranch quesadilla, or a steak with loaded mashed potatoes starting at just $10.99. Wait a minute, that can't be right. Rewind. So you get a drink, all the chips and salsa you can eat, a giant entree and a side starting at just $10.99? Oh, someone's gonna get in trouble for this one. This Chili's 3 for Me is the best $10.99 you can eat.
Oh my God, what did you do here? Did you have a food fight by yourself? I'm gonna need a bucket and towels on table 8. It's a mess. Watch your step, please.
Clean this up, now.
Music is universal, as we know. You don't need to understand a single word to feel the emotion and recognize the common spirit of the season. These songs transcend words. They remind us that the warmth, love, longing, and the joy of the holiday is shared across borders. We love how people around the world celebrate in their own beautiful ways, and the music captures the unique soul of each different country. In a world that feels divided, listening to foreign Christmas music is our method of connection. the familiar sentiments of peace, love, togetherness are expressed in unfamiliar ways, and these songs can make Christmas feel new again, even as it stays timeless. And so, Bob, I agree. Like, the music is one of my favorite parts of the show. And again, another tough one. And I'm going to bet that we don't have no matches in this category.
That's interesting because I struggled. I had it down to five. Well, I went with the third one, not on the basis of the song, but what was in the song. So I don't know. I'm curious.
We'll see.
Okay.
Well, one, again, doing three versus five was tough. Two, we couldn't choose Zilmalton de Pashas from our Easter show. Zilmalton de Pashas! My personal favorite.
Show me your eggs.
Show me your eggs. But my number three was from Greece. Christa Yanana, which means Christmas Eve. That's my number three.
What is funny is I was stuck on that one. That was one that was in my three rotating. And the only reason why I went with this one, my number three one, if you recall, I picked the song from Palestine, which was Jayu Yozol. It was because they had the kids from the Helen Keller School of the Blind that sang with the singer in that song. So as much as I love that Grease song, I loved the Costa Rica song, I went with Palestine because of the kids from Helen Keller that sang also in the song.
I remember that song. That was really very nice.
Yeah.
Well, my number two was... Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Which was from Peru.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't know, like it was like, I remember the first time I heard it, I was just kind of singing and dancing. And now, I mean, it's on my Christmas playlist now.
And I'm just watching you dance around the studio. Now, you knew when we presented this song that I had said that it was already a favorite. It's from Australia.
Yes.
It's called How to Make Gravy.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. It's a story song. A guy who is in jail, and so he can't be home for Christmas. And it's such a great song. Ironically, from what I have read, they're making a movie. Netflix is making a movie based on that song. I hope it doesn't turn out like The Christmas Shoes, which everyone hated, and they hate the song. And so, yeah, How to Make Gravy. What a great song. I play it every Christmas.
Oh, that's a good... It is a really good song. And so my number one song... So yours was Palestine, then...
Australia.
And mine was Greece and Peru... Well, my number one is from Lebanon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Jaye Papa Noel. It's just a really fresh song. It's a very modern song. I think if I remember correctly back to the description, it was actually recently released, and it's that really upbeat. I would say... If you put somebody in a room and start playing that and said, what are you thinking of? Because I think the feeling, the emotion, it comes across as a Christmas song.
I'll tell you how I decide on my... I first make a playlist. I go through all the songs and narrow it down to probably the top 10. I think I had 10 on there. And all of your songs were on that list. This was the one where I wanted to go, could I have two or three honorable mentions? The only thing that bothers me about my choices, I'm proud of my choices, but the two songs are my one and two are in English. And it has nothing to do that they're in English. I just love the songs.
Yeah.
So my number one matches my number one country. It was the song from New Zealand, Take Away the Tree.
Well,
It was a song that won a contest. I love that song. Yeah. I listened to it, and now I've added that to my playlist.
It was a really good song. And, you know, it's funny you said about making the list. I did the same. We didn't consult. We didn't compare things. But Bob and I recently were talking, and we were talking about getting ready for the show. And he said he was having a hard time with the music. And I shrugged my shoulders, and I'm like, gosh, I'm not really having a hard time music. Well, that's because one page of the music fell out of my list. And I was even looking, I'm like, why do I only have 12 to choose from? I'm not having a hard time. And so when I went back and I was like, wait a minute, I'm missing like nine more songs.
Yes. Yeah,
it was very hard.
In fact, if you remember, and I don't know if you went back and did this, the one song from Slovenia isn't on Spotify. It isn't on Apple Music. The only place you can listen to it is on YouTube. So I actually went back and listened to it because I thought I really liked that song. And I think I liked it more when I remembered it than when I went back and listened to it. But Mark, you're right. We didn't have any of the songs, and I think we're going to have our movies in common. There's going to be some. I know that there are. Yes.
Well, for the music piece, I remember how excited you were to introduce me to That's How We Make Gravy.
Yes. That's called. Yeah, yeah.
And I had never heard of it before, and it really is a good song.
What is interesting is I had it. I found it years ago, and I put it on. It doesn't sound like a Christmas song. It's one of those songs that you can't listen to it once or twice. I've tried to get people, I'm like, this is a great song. You should listen to it. And they listen to it and they're like, yeah, it didn't mean anything. It grows on you. Oh, it really does.
It's a great song.
It's everywhere!
You know, a little less spilling and a little more eating might have been nice, Bob. I mean, I'm used to cleaning up after you. It really just makes my day. But thank you for this great opportunity.
And now, the moment we've all been waiting for, our selection for the best festive foreign film.
Wait, what do you think you're doing? I wasn't finished with that. I wanted to take that home.
We watch Christmas films to learn about how different people appreciate the holiday. Films are our window into different cultures, traditions, and ways of life of people from all corners of the globe. It broadens our worldview and helps us to empathize with others. Film is one of the most powerful ways to bring people together across cultural and linguistic divides. No matter where you are, the spirit of Christmas is felt around the world. It creates shared experiences that help to connect us, even if we speak different languages or live in different parts of the world. These universal themes resonate across cultures, and international Christmas films offer fresh takes on these timeless emotions. It's a reminder that the joy, peace, and goodwill of Christmas are universal, no matter the language or the location. We are going to use these awards to acknowledge that richness of the world's various traditions and to celebrate what makes each culture unique. We are so excited to highlight the very best of the excellent movies we have watched this year. So, Mark, my number three movie is, it reflects your number one favorite country, Germany. It's Mein Schön Bescherung. Messy Christmas from Germany. I love that film. I thought it had elements of drama, humor, lots of humor. And then it throws cultural things like the sauna, all the guys. Oh my God, who would ever do that? Right. So all of those factors made it such an enjoyable watch. And each time I watched it, even though I knew what was going to happen, I laughed every time.
Hard to argue with that selection. As you talked about the music and the ones on the fringes and stuff, I would say this. Messy Christmas was on my radar. It did not make my top three.
Okay.
Right? We're in the same ballpark.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, I am going to build a sauna and have me, you, Bill, Howard, and Daryl over my house. Look forward to that. Look for the invitation. It's coming to you soon.
And the nude snowball fight?
Maybe. Yeah. We might invite Jake, but he's going to be busy with the baby.
I don't know. I want to stay away from the butt plug Santa. You'll have it on display in the front yard.
That's a really good point. But my number three is Just Another Christmas. And that was earlier on in the season. The one where he gets up each day and there's another Christmas.
From Brazil.
From Brazil. So, yeah, exactly. And remember, he sort of wakes up and it's one after another. And he's like seeing his family fall apart and he gets divorced. He has the girlfriend who doesn't really want to be his girlfriend. He's got that silly ass mustache.
Mark, I love that film. Okay. I love it because how creatively they handled the concept. It would be really easy to write that movie and be lazy about it. But what they did is they were very strict. He's not going to remember the rest of the year. So he's going to hate all the things that have happened. And then the other thing I always love was the uncle who would throw a fit and leave.
Yeah, there's and the subtle humor too. I remember the one year when he wakes up and the kids now understand what's going on with them. And he tells the son tells his dad that he didn't graduate college, he quit school, he's dealing drugs. He's like, really? He goes, nah, I'm just kidding you.
So, you're not going to remember it anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for that scare.
So this is where I'm starting to feel like we might be in the same territory. So my number two is Sersanisa Zemesvetsky from Latvia, The Accidental Santa, where it was the family that hires the Santa and they end up getting the escaped convict who comes to their house. And again, just like the Germany, it had humor.
Oh my gosh.
It had actually pathos. It was like there was a lot of drama. The husband and wife that had been at odds, and then they sit and they watch the slideshow that actually probably used real pictures of those actors when they were kids. I love that film.
Well, my number two, Bob, actually is Accidental Santa for all the reasons you said. And, of course, the opening number and the whole prison scene. So, so we're aligned there.
All right.
Number one.
Drum roll, please. Last year, when we picked the same film, I was shocked. This year, if we pick the same film, I don't think I'm going to be shocked because I love this film and you love this film. And it has come up a couple of times in various other episodes. My number one pick for film of the year, Kappa from Slovenia.
That's a good movie.
It was. And what's really funny is if you remember the film that we picked from Taiwan kind of was aimed at younger kids.
Yeah.
Same thing. Young kids here, kind of a film that appeals to younger people, families. Everybody could watch it, but it didn't shy away from some tough themes in there, too. It was one of those films that when it ended, you're like, can we start it again? I just
Such
felt
a
so
pretty
good.
Song, yeah, and young, I think those both the young actors were the first time they ever made film.
Yeah.
Right, they shot it.
So they were so natural, yes.
Yeah. They shot it in the Capitol during COVID. Great movie, but not my number one.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
It's not.
Because you have mentioned Kappa a couple times this year.
Well, it's good. I mean, it's one of my favorite. Again, if we did the top five, it would have been in there.
Okay, can I guess? Let me just guess.
Yeah,
I want to guess. Memory Box.
Also in my radar, but not it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so like Kappa, so hard to exclude them. And I'll be honest with you, I actually thought when we started to think about going through it, like I thought, oh, that's probably going to be my number one, certainly top three. But then as I went through the movies, like I think overall that some of the movies we watched this year that didn't make it, like The Christmas Tango.
Yes.
That is a phenomenal movie from Greece, right? But, Bob said I can only have three this year.
I can't think now because you've kind of surprised me. The Brazilian one I didn't anticipate. I anticipated that you'd pick Kappa and the one from Latvia. I really did.
The Accidental Santa was just a quality movie. There was Himmelfall from Norway.
Yes.
That was a great movie, right? But my number one movie is I went back and I sort of read some of the write-ups and things that we talked about. And I think this movie hit me as number one overall because, one, I think it's a great spiritual story around Christmas. It's actually from Algeria, of Gods and Men.
Now that you say that, at the time when we did that episode, could tell
how much that impacted. Because I think you had read the book.
I did.
You knew the story.
Yeah.
And what I find so interesting about that choice is you could show some people that film. They may say, I don't think that's a Christmas film. Now, I felt the opposite.
Right.
I thought it was very spiritual, and especially when he stands up to and defends the monastery.
On Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that, but now that you say that, I completely understand. And I would advocate people who haven't seen that film, it's a true story, and I think they should either go back and listen to our episode and watch that movie.
It was a good movie. When I did my first list, I mean, my five movies that I had were Messy Christmas, The Christmas Tango, Just Another Christmas, Accidental Santa, Of Gods and Men, Copyright. I mean, those were like, I'm going to find my favorite movies from here. But some, I'm telling you, Himmelfall, I forgot about that movie, and it was such a good movie.
It really was. It's hard because it's dealing with mental illness.
Right.
That was a hard one. In the same way, Memory Box wasn't an obvious one, but I thought there were so many elements that were interesting about that film as well.
And it was a well-told story. Yes. If you remember, we talked about the visual display, right? The diaries and the photo albums and the film within
how
the
they
diary
did it.
Books.
Yeah.
So,
did you find the one thing I was surprised by is when I went back and looked at the list, some of them I thought were from last season, like the Australian one, the December Boys in the Slovakian, Let There Be Light. That was this year.
Well, your reaction to when I said Just Another Christmas, I was like, oh my God, did I look at the wrong list? But yeah, totally. Sort of fun to go back and review what we've gone through over the year and just pick out some of these favorite movies and songs.
You know, and I hear this a lot from people that listen to our show. They say they like to hear us describe the movies. They don't necessarily go and watch them. Now, I do know there's a guy whose name is a Christmas aficionado. He tells me he listens, then he goes and finds a movie and watches it.
Oh, nice.
I hope at least if you don't have the opportunity to see all the movies, and I understand that, you know, we're busy, but some of the ones that we've highlighted here, if you really want to get a good broad view of films across the world, this would be a good way to do it, I think. Don't you think?
I totally agree. Absolutely.
So, Mark, we aren't really paying for these meals, are we? I mean, I've been ordering quite a bit. I think I've been promoting Chili's on our podcast. You've been doing a fairly decent job. And, you know, we had our show here, so they should be grateful. So this is a free meal, right?
Absolutely not.
I want my baby back.
I want my baby back.
I want my baby back.
I want my baby back. Ribs.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
I want my baby back.
Chili's baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
So, our Festive Foreign Film Fans podcast is a way to experience Christmas through the eyes of the world. The magic of Christmas and the goodness in all people is waiting to be discovered in every corner of the globe. This year, we strongly encourage you to step out of the box and try to explore these foreign Christmas films. We want our listeners to fully embrace the festive spirit of the world and to find new Christmas movies to experience. It's the perfect way to bring the globe together. Our desire is to give you more reason to listen, to join us in our next season, and to recommend us to others from all corners of the globe. Now, we have a dedicated listener who made the suggestion at our live show that we really ought to say what movie we're going to cover next time.
Yep.
And I think for our third season, we will do that. We'll say coming up so people will have the opportunity to find the movie and to watch it before.
And the extent that we know where they can find it, we can maybe suggest where to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually really enjoyed being here. Yeah, it's fast-paced, it's good pay, flexibility, and a chance to be around all these people. And I love singing happy birthday songs. I like retirement, but you know, I'm thinking a server gives me what I've been missing in retirement.
Ah, yes. Satisfaction, contentment, ambition. They all go a long way. And I think you should consider that as your tip.
Shocking.
We've had an incredible time this year, and we thank you all for your support, input, and downloads. We hope you've enjoyed this international journey as much as we have. We'll be back next month with even more exciting movies, new countries, and more holiday fun.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you so much for being part of this community. We couldn't do it without you, and we can't wait for you to join us for our third season.
I'm so excited.
Until next time, be festive, keep dreaming, and honor Christmas in your heart and all the year. We'll see you next season.
Actually, we're done.
Done, done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over, kaput, finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
Sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.